This is chapter 18, part 2 of The War on Waste Paradox by Len Bertain, read by Len Bertain. Last time we ended with Dr. Elby telling a class, why don't we answer the question by actually going through the 255MT process? Does that make sense? And we continue. Yes, it does. Let's do it, Tony said rather intensely. I think the first operation on that order is Operation 10, Op 10. As I read the figure, it says, kit the material for the job. Tony and the class detailed the following table. Operation 10, kit material for the job 1 minute. Operation 10, 20, move pallet to mill. Set up job 1 hour, run 300 bodies, 16 hours, 54 minutes. Part cycle time, 3.5 minutes. Operation 30, move to drilling center. If more than 4 pallets at drill area, move to staging area. Drill and tap lower body assembly. Average part cycle time, 2.5 minutes. Operation 40, drill upper body assembly. Move to boring center. If more than 6 pallets, move to staging. Average time, 1 minute to drill the upper body assembly, 7 minutes to move it to the boring center. Operation 50, drill valve outlet ports, 4 outlet ports, 12 minutes. Operation 60, hone bearing sleeve, 1 minute. Operation 70, press bearing into sleeve, 5 minutes. Operation 80, move to assembly kitting area. The summary, total time upper assembly body, 26 minutes. Total time lower body assembly, 27.5 minutes. It looks like you're pretty close to the numbers. Where is Herbie in this operation? Someone in the back yelled out, Operation 50, drilling the valve ports. Dr. Elby responded, good. Now, how many minutes would you have been between ports once you got the process going? Buck was into this and said, 12 minutes. Every 12 minutes, a finished part should drop out of the process. Mac jumped in. So, Roland, if we run this plant 8 hours a day, you should get 40 255 MTs per day, or 80 on a two-shift basis. Would that make you happy? Roland, who was disappointed over his recent cancellation, suddenly got interested. You mean to say if we think what we're doing, we can actually get 40 units a day without much effort? I have my opinions on this, Roland. Does anyone have any ideas on how to give Roland his 40 units a day? Jim was now ready to roll. Yes, Mac, I have an idea. Why don't we move one or two of each of the machines needed into an area that we'll call the 255 MT cell? Let's line them up in a huge U, like this, and he went to the board and drew the following arrangement. At the start was the mill, then above it was a drill, then above it was the bore. To the right was a drill, down was a hone, down was the press, and it to finish. So you had a U, that was the cell. Jim went on, if we move all of these units to this arrangement and don't change a single step in the process, we'll get phenomenal throughput out of the cell. Not only that, we don't need to worry about setup because we can leave the equipment set up permanently, fixed to run the 255 MTs. Mr. Grimes was sitting over in the corner shaking his head. God, why didn't I think of that earlier? What about all the different variations of the 255 MT valve arrangements? Mac looked at the class. Anyone have any ideas? This isn't my project. Do you have any ideas to help Mr. Grimes? Frank, who had been quiet most of the sessions, suddenly perked up and he began, "You know, Mr. Grimes, I've been listening to this discussion for several weeks now, and I just laugh. You wouldn't listen to me several years ago when I made the same goddamn suggestion. There really isn't anything new here. It's just that you're listening to us now." Frank had gotten that off his chest, and now he was ready to talk. "The 255 MT is easy to change over from one unit to the next. I don't think any of the fixtures or jigs would take more than 5 or 10 minutes to change from one version of the 255 MT to another. I think we should move the equipment immediately. Since Roland is having a problem with the customer, let's make this change now and get more business that he wants." Frank turned and looked to Roland. "I think Roland should buy us all beer and pizza when we get this new arrangement installed. He's the one that can now afford it." Frank smiled and finished with, "Let's put this at the top of Calvin's priority list. As I see it, this change is no more than $1,000 to move the equipment. The increased revenue is so big, it just doesn't make sense not to. So in Calvin's analysis, the cost is $1,000, and the benefit would be increased sales of..." Roland jumped in. "I think we could ship at least $500,000 more units if we can deliver. So from my perspective, the benefit is an increased sales of 500,000. Lord knows what the waste elimination would be. Inventory would certainly go down. WIP would go down. Damn it, let's do it. It seems that it certainly offers a low risk and high profit probability of success, and it certainly is consistent with the mission of the company. If that isn't an AA on our chart, then I don't know what it would be. Let's do it." Roland was speaking of the cost-benefit mission relevance checklist. An AA was the low-cost, high-benefit, high-mission relevance probability of success project. It was clear that this was a go. Dr. Albee interjected. "Calvin, I think Roland is in favor of this project, and I would probably give this a high priority. What do you think?" Calvin wanted to help in any way that he could and said that all the electrical wiring could be arranged to start tomorrow and the moving could be done on Saturday. So he said, "We would be ready to go Monday. We might need to buy some additional tools, but I think this is pretty simple. Roland, if this old customer is interested, we can run the cell for a week and then bring the customer in. Maybe we can move assembly over to that area and start to work on that at the same time. If we do the assembly and testing right at the end of the manufacturing line, we won't be wasting any time. If I remember correctly, the people in assembly made the calculation, and they figured that 3 assembly and test people could produce 1 pump every 10 minutes. We might as well begin to do this right now." Mr. Grimes was surprised. "You mean to tell me that the assembly crews knows how long it takes to put this together? I've been trying to find that out for 10 years. If I understand this, we can now manufacture and assemble one 255 MT every 10 to 12 minutes. And we wouldn't be changing any of our processes." Calvin interrupted him. "You're going to have to hear that presentation from the people in assembly next week. They'll knock your socks off. They're going to explain a terrific Kanban technique to do assembly, and I guarantee you, you're going to be impressed. By that, I am confident." My, I forgot about that, Mr. Grimeside. I didn't tell all of you that Hank Thompson, the chairman of our bank that we do business with, is going to be judging the presentations with me. I told him what we were doing, and he was interested in coming over to spend a day with us. He has several clients who would use this help. Mac, it might be a better day for you than for us." Mac smiled. "Thanks, Jack." "Or John. Jack and I would enjoy meeting him." Mac turned to the class and said, "See you next Monday. If you have any last-minute questions about any of your presentation material, you can reach Dr. Albee or me at our homes during the week. Feel free to give us a call. Mac wrote their home phone numbers on the board for all of us to copy into our notebooks. We did and left the classroom. These are Chapter 18 insights. In a political war, treason is a capital offense punishable by death. A similar rule applies in the war on waste. In a recent engagement, one of the CEOs who really understood what the war on waste was about stood up on the last day of class and gave a rousing speech to the employees. At the end, he said, "I am the general of our war on waste. We are at war with our competitors who want to take business from us. There are some of those competitors who'd want to steal your jobs from you. As we go forward, I want everyone on board my train, and it's leaving the station. If you aren't on it, you're committing treason. And you know what I will do with an employee who commits treason." Now, I really love this because he understood what war on waste was about. In our story, Mr. Grimes, the CEO, is the general in the company's war on waste. He had to deal with Mike Kane, who was the Black Knight from the beginning. His behavior in leaving an employee out in the cold was inexcusable and was a rebellious, treasonous offense. Now, Mr. Grimes is driving the train, and everyone is getting on board. Mr. Grimes is doing what we want leaders to do. He is respecting his people as partners in his business. He's giving them a sense of purpose, and he is driving the strategic direction of the company in response to the operational input from the workers. And more important, he is there to witness the profound changes that are taking place in his company. At the end of the war on waste, he will have completed the first phase of the process that is required to create an innovation culture that we call the Quantum Leap Company. The war on waste is phase zero. It gets the company, but that's all it does. If the process dies out after a couple of months, which most lean manufacturing initiatives that we observe seem to do, then that's too bad. But we put the CRB, or Tribal Knowledge Council, into the system to make sure that change and innovation become an integral part of the company. There is a funny comment by Mr. Grimes in this chapter. He is complaining that he couldn't get information out of his assemblers. If you listen to that, you think he's stupid if he couldn't get an answer to that question. This is where secretive tribal knowledge is tricky. You don't need to know why, but lots of stuff makes this happen. Mr. Grimes could ask out of curiosity and not have a sense of urgency, and he then would get distracted after each time he asks. You could come up with a million reasons why he couldn't get the answer. But as you will find out after the war on waste, those questions become a lot easier to answer. That's the end of Chapter 18, Part 2. Looking forward to see you in Chapter 19.